Great. Thank you, Hesse, for reading that. And do keep Psalm 145 open in front of you. We're going to look at that together. And let me just pray for us before we look at God's word together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please would you teach us now. Help us to be ready to listen as we look at Psalm 145, this wonderful psalm of praise. Would you help us to understand what we need to pass on from one generation to the next? Amen. Okay, I've got a question for you, which talk about with the person next to you. The question is this: what does or did your mum teach you? Maybe there was something particular that you're particularly thankful that your mum taught you or teaches you now. How about have a chat with the person next to you or a couple of people next to you and just answer that. What does or did your mum teach you? Okay, maybe carry that conversation on afterwards, but give us some answers. Shout some out and I'll repeat them so that if people are listening on the loop, they can hear that. So, yeah, go for it. What does your mum teach you? To make cheese sauce. That's very good. I like that. Yeah? Spellings. Very important. Yeah, what else? What else we got, Pips? Yeah? Ordering you to stay up. Now, I'm intrigued by that. That's interesting. Yes, go on there, Dan. Not to touch hot pans. Very specific and very good. Yes, Robin? Pleases and thank yous. Very good. Jonathan, yeah? Respect. Very good. Joan, yeah, thank you.
My mum taught me how to play the piano.
How to play the piano. Very good. Brian?
Taught me to pray.
Taught you to pray. Wonderful. Anything else? What else we got? Janet, yeah.
How to knit and sew.
Very good. Another one. Andrew?
How to laugh.
How to laugh. That's good. Yeah, Yvonne?
If you make a promise, you keep it.
Yeah, really good things. Well done. Yeah, go for it, Anne.
Not to leave the table till everyone has finished.
Not to leave the table till everyone's finished. Very good. Isn't it great? Yes, go for it, Julie.
Crossing the road safely.
Yeah, very important, isn't it? Brilliant. Well done. Thank you. I'm sure there are loads of other things. Do talk about that afterwards as well. To say, okay, what else is it that mums teach us? Well, we're looking at Psalm 145. And this psalm is a psalm of praise. As Hesse read it, I'm sure you picked up, it's just sort of exuberant praise. In fact, what David has done, King David, this is King David, a busy guy being king, but he wrote a poem. This is his poem. Psalm 145 is a poem that he wrote to God. He wrote lots of them, but he wrote a poem to God saying how great God is. And actually what David did was, every line of it is, it goes through the alphabet. So he starts at the beginning of the alphabet and goes through. Now, if you look carefully, you'll notice you can't see that because he didn't write it in English. He wrote it in Hebrew and it's been translated into English. But actually, if you read the Hebrew, you'd see every line starts with the next letter of the alphabet. So it's an A to Z of praise of God. And in verse 4, I'll put it up on the screen. Verse 4, David says this: one generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. David is saying in that verse, he's saying, generation after generation, people will tell their children and will tell their grandchildren and will tell the next generation the greatness of God. That's what he's saying. He's saying, if we've understood how great and wonderful God is, we will want to tell the next generation. That doesn't have to be mums telling children, although it should be. But it could just be anyone telling the next generation. One generation needs to tell the next, whether you're a mum or a dad or a grandparent or you don't have children. We all need to be involved in telling the next generation about God. So what is it about God that we need to pass on from one generation to the next? That's what we're going to think about. What do we need to pass on from one generation to the next? What does David say we need to pass on? And if you're not a Christian this morning, I'd love you to see the greatness of God, the wonder of God, how awesome God is, and that through this you would then want to find out more about God. So, as I've said, question for us is this: what should we pass on from one generation to the next? Let's see how David answers that question. First thing is, God's works are amazing. God's works are amazing. You cannot get away from that in the first 7 verses. In fact, I'm going to read again verses 4-6, and I want you to stop me every time we get to an adjective, a word that describes God's works or God's deeds. Okay, do you understand? So every time I say a word which describes God's deeds, stop me. Okay, so just shout out stop. You got it? An adjective that describes God's work. You'll get it after the first one, all right? So I'm going to start at verse... Hang on. I'm going to start at verse 4. Okay, you ready to stop me? Shout stop when I should, all right? Adults, you can shout stop as well. Okay. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. Thank you. Okay, so what's the word? Mighty. Okay, we've got mighty. Mighty up on the screen. Okay, I keep going. They will speak of the glorious... Okay, what have we got? Glorious. I didn't put that one on the screen, but you are right. Well done. Okay, I'll keep going. Splendor of your... What? Splendor. Okay, I didn't put that one up either. You're finding more than I am. Okay, of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. What have we got? Wonderful. Wonderful. I did get that one. Okay, wonderful works. Okay, verse 6. They will tell of the power of your awesome works. What? What we got? Say it again.
Awesome.
Awesome. Awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deed. Okay, what do we got?
Great.
That was half-hearted. What have we got?
Great.
Great. Good. Okay, well done. That one comes up as well. Okay, we're going to stop there. So now just look. Okay, and there are others that I haven't put up there. Just look at all the ways God's works are described. Mighty, wonderful, awesome, great. Imagine someone said to you, you know what, I met someone the other day. Let me tell you, what they do is mighty, wonderful, awesome, great. You go, well, I want to meet this person. This is going to be an interesting person to get to know, aren't they? David is saying that is true of God. God's works, what he has done, his deeds, are all those things. So what has God done, we need to think? Well, one of the amazing things that the Bible says over and over and over again that is one of God's amazing deeds is creation. He's made the universe. Now, if you were here... For Spaced Out, we learnt a bit more about the awesomeness of God's creation. And I thought, let's hand over to Max at this point and just get him to help us think a little bit more about the wonder of God's creation, the universe, and particularly our solar system. So I'm going to hand over to Max to help us think about that.
What I want to try to show to you is just how incredible, not even just the universe is, but let's just actually go in a bit and actually just think about our solar system. So let's try and think about all of the wonderful parts of God's creation within there. So I'm going to need lots of volunteers for this, because we've got quite a lot of parts of our solar system. So come on, I'm going to need at least 9 people. So please, more. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Need a few more. 8, 9. How are we doing? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Fantastic. Okay. There we go. We've got all 9 people that we need now. And we're going to start off with where all of our wonderful power and energy comes from in the solar system. It all comes from the sun. So we've got a nice little picture of the sun here with its various little sunspots. And we're going to actually put the sun all the way back here. So if we just go on to the next slide, you can see a nice picture of the sun there. So, Toby, do you want to come up and hold up the sun? And that's going to sit quite actually nicely here with all of these lovely yellow flowers. So you can imagine all of these flowers adding to the splendor and wonderful warmth of the sun as it sits there. Okay, if we go to the next object in our solar system, we see Mercury. Mercury pocketed with all of these impacts, very close to the sun. It gets very hot and it just gets bombarded by all of these objects in our solar system. So if the next person would like to come up, Just hold it. Now, if the sun is going to sit here, Toby, you want to take a step to the left. Just hold it back a bit. Then Mercury is actually in our little scale model, really close to the sun. It sits about here. And it's just trying to survive there on its own, small little object. Next one along will be Venus. So if you have another look here, we've got Venus. We've actually visited Venus. The Russians have sent plenty of spacecraft to Venus. So you get this wonderful body, which is incredibly warm, but for a different reason. So Venus actually has an atmosphere, and all of that atmosphere around Venus traps in all of that warmth and heat that comes from the sun. So it gets incredibly warm there, even hotter than Mercury on the surface. And Venus will sit just about here. So again, all very nice and close to each other, all in our inner solar system. The next one, we know very well. That's our wonderful Earth. So I'd like to come and hold the Earth. And just want to stand probably about here or so. And that is one that everyone can see and everyone knows very well. So we've got all of this wonderful liquid water. We've got all of these wonderful land masses. Lots of colour, lots of vibrancy of the atmosphere as it comes around. The next one along is Mars. A very different planet here. It's not very far again from the sun. So it's actually just about here, probably about on the edge here. So if you turn around so everyone can see. So we've got Mars sitting there. And it's incredibly different again. So it's now very red. You've got all of this iron in the crust. But it also has this very thin atmosphere. It's got this water ice trapped at the poles. And again, we have the wonderful luxury of being able to send probes there to find out more about it. So very different there as well. Then we have to go a bit further for the next one. So as we just sort of brush past all of these asteroids on our way down, we get to about here. So you want to hold up Jupiter. Again, Jupiter, wonderful. All these lovely bands as all of these enormous hurricanes are swirling over the surface in the atmosphere. And you can see this beautiful picture here that I've managed to pick up, very recently taken, because we've now got a probe that's going up and above the poles of Jupiter. And you can just see all of these little hurricanes and swirls, incredibly turbulent atmosphere of this remarkable, huge, enormous planet that we've got. Then we carry on going a bit further, and for this one we need to come up to here. So if you grab Saturn, I need to stand about here in line with the lectern. Excellent. So we come out to Saturn. Again, it's so different, right? So you've got these wonderful rings going all the way around Saturn. Again, as it rotates, you get these bands of these atmosphere as it goes around. Incredibly large planet, lots of moons with lots of interesting dynamics within it as well. Okay, so you two are going to have to come with me because we've got to go much further now because we're going out to the outer solar system. And as we keep going, we're eventually going to get to Uranus, which sits here. So you can just hold that one up. So you've got this really nice, really sort of smooth blue planet. It's also got lots of interesting atmosphere there and has a few rings as well, which you don't pick up because it's a lot more faint, but it's there nonetheless. And Uranus is really interesting because it looks like at some point it's taken a bit of a hit because it's kind of on its side. So it's actually slightly skewed in the way that it sits. So another interesting object. So if we carry on, we keep going out to the very outer reaches till we get to Neptune over here. So if you want to turn around and hold up Neptune for us. Again, you've got this wonderful deep blue colour. You've got these other storms and these other wonderful sort of spirals and bands of all of this atmosphere as it comes through. So we've got these wonderful planets all stretched out through space. Neptune, Uranus, Saturn, we've got Jupiter, and then we've got all of the inner solar system all crowded here together near the sun. And it's just remarkable that we have the privilege to be able to go and visit all of these remarkable planets and that they're all so different. I mean, it just smacks to me of such creativity that we have this wonderful solar system that has been created for us. Okay, so if everyone wants to come back together and return the cards, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
No, all the planets are colliding. No. Ah. It's all right. It's all right. You're not going to wreck the universe.
There you go. There you go. Okay.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, Max, and thank you for your helpers as well. Don't you think? I mean, just incredible. Even just those pictures, wonderful pictures of those planets. And all of those, they are all created by God. So can you see, okay, King David didn't know about those pictures, didn't know about all those planets. We know even more. And yet David was saying, one generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. Mark, can you put me back on? Well done. What God has done is mighty, wonderful, awesome, and great. And so we need to tell from one generation to the next how amazing God's works are, that God should create all this. Now, if you're not a Christian today, maybe you struggle with this talk of the universe being created. If you're not a Christian, you might think, well, I don't think that we were created, that there is a God out there who created everything. Just for you, just for a moment, I just want you to realise that taking that step of saying, I don't think that there is a God out there, is just as much a step of faith as saying that I believe there is a God out there. After all, what evidence have you got that there is not a God out there who created everything? Yes, we can't prove that there is a God out there who created everything, but you can't prove that there isn't. So the question is, what evidence have you got, whether there is a God out there who created everything, or whether there isn't? And I think just looking at creation, just looking at all that there is around you, looking at the wonderful solar system that there is, it actually points you more to saying, this is a wonderful work of God. So, what do we pass on from one generation to the next? God's works are amazing. And we're going to think in just a moment about a second thing to pass on from one generation to the next. Joanne. So we're asking the question, what is it that we should pass from one generation to the next? What should mums teach their children, dads their children, anyone teach to the next generation? And we've already thought that God's works are amazing. Second thing we're going to think about. Now, you could think about a whole load more things from this psalm, but we're just going to think about one more thing. And that is that God's love is amazing. Now, look again. Would you turn to Psalm 145? So, you actually need page 632 now. So you're just over the page. Page 632. And we're going to do our stop game again. And I'm going to read verses 8 and 9, and I want you to stop me every time there's a description of God. Any word that describes God. All right? You're going to have to stop me quite a lot of times. Okay, so just verses 8 and 9. Ready? The Lord is gracious and... Okay, what have we got?
Gracious.
Gracious. And I have got that one. And compassionate. What do you got?
Compassionate.
Compassionate. You're almost having to stop me every word. Compassionate. Slow to anger.
Slow.
What do you got?
Slow to anger,
yes. Slow to anger. And rich in love. What you got?
Rich in love.
The Lord is good to... What you got?
Good.
He has compassion on all he has made. Yeah, okay, what you got?
Compassion.
Thank you. Okay, so, just in the space of two verses, do you see, King David is saying, let me tell you about God. Okay, he is gracious, he is compassionate, he is rich in love, slow to anger, he is good, he is full of compassion. What's that saying? Over and over and over again is God is loving. God's love is amazing. But to whom is God loving? Have a look, verse 9. What does verse 9 say about who God is compassionate towards, who God loves? All. Say it again. Someone said a bit more. All he has made. God's love is amazing to all he has made. And God shows his love to all he has made by providing for all he has made. So as you go further down in the psalm, you'll see King David is saying, God provides for everything. Just look, second half of verse 13. Parents, if you need to point out to children where this is. Second half of verse 13. I'm just going to read another few verses there. Notice what it says. It says, the Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you. and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. That is saying God provides for everything that he has made. All the creatures that he has made, every person that he has made, God provides for them. So that means, on the screen, God provides for the emperor tamarin of the Amazon rainforest with its wonderful moustache. God provides for it. God provides for cuddly lions in Africa. They're not cuddly. Don't cuddle them. Otherwise, God's provided you for them. He provides for the slow loris of South Asia. He provides for red squirrels of the UK. He provides for, last one, sorry, you could go on and on and on, couldn't you? I mean, you could go through every creature that there is. He provides for the sun bear with its ridiculously long tongue that likes to eat honey and termites. Termites are like ants. What a diet. But God provides for them. God's love is amazing. He provides for all that he has made, which means he's provided for you today. Hands up if you had breakfast today. Some people didn't. Got to have breakfast. Apparently it's the most important meal of the day. God's provided for you. God loves you. He's given you what you've had today already. So we need to see God loves everyone, provides for everyone, whether we recognize it or not. This is called God's common grace. He gives and he gives and he gives and he is generous to all. But we know what David didn't know. We know the ultimate example of God's love poured out. The greatest way God shows his love is what we celebrate at Easter. It is the cross of Jesus. That is God's love poured out like you don't see anywhere else. Yeah, God is loving to all. But here is where we see God's love shown in all its fullness, at the cross of Jesus. This familiar verse, John 3:16, this is what it says. Up on the screen. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. See what John is saying there? He's saying, look, this is how God loves us. God so loved the world. In other words, yeah, we see God's love all over the place, but this is God so loved the world. This is the extent of it, that he gave his one and only Son. In other words, that Jesus came and died. So that what? So that whoever believes in him should not perish, but may have eternal life. This is God's saving grace, sending his Son to die for us so that those who trust in him can have life forever. And God's love extends also to hearing us. Yes, he provides for us common grace. He sends his Son, saving grace, so that all who trust in him can be saved. And God hears us. Did you notice that in the psalm? Verses 18 and 19. Have a look at those. Verse 18 and 19. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. Do you see that saying? Verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call on him. The Lord is near. God is not far off and distant. Just because he made the amazing solar system, the incredible universe, doesn't mean that God is far off and distant. He is close. He hears you and me. He hears even our silent cries in our hearts. If you're not yet a Christian, you need to recognize God loves you and has given you generously everything that you have. And he's given his Son so that you can have eternal life. But you do need humbly to humble yourself and to cry out to him, asking for forgiveness. He will hear you. He promises all who believe in him, all who turn to him, will receive eternal life. Cry out to him today if you haven't done that yet. And if you're a Christian, keep calling on him. Keep crying out to him. It honours God that we depend on him, that we keep asking him for things. Parents, teach your children to keep crying out to God. To cry out for forgiveness, but to cry out in every circumstance. So here's a phrase for us. As we teach from one generation to the next that God is loving, therefore we need to teach this phrase, and we need to use it a lot. Here's the phrase. We're going to say it together in a moment. Let's pray about that. We need to use that. Okay, let's say it together. Let's pray about that. Okay, parents, with your children. Children are maybe having a hard time at school. Let's pray about that. Children feeling ill. Let's pray about that. They're worried. Let's pray about that. They're scared. Let's pray about that. They're happy. Let's pray about that. Because God is loving and he hears us, we need to remind one another. We need to teach the next generation to cry out to God, to pray to him. He is near us. Okay, so what should we pass from one generation to the next? Two things we've seen in the psalm. God's works are amazing. We saw that in creation, but in a whole load of other things you read in the Bible, God's works are amazing. And God's love is amazing, that he should provide for all he has made, that he should send his Son, his saving grace, that all who trust in him can have eternal life, and that he hears us. So cry out to him. Keep talking to him. Let's pray about that. And so, let's pray about that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you that we have seen in this psalm that your works are amazing. Father, open our eyes more to the wonder and glory and greatness and the might of your works. Father, please would we praise you for those things. And we praise you that your love is amazing, that day by day you shower us with your blessings, and you sent your Son to die for us. Father, please help each one of us to respond to you, to cry out to you, maybe turning to you for the first time, or if we're Christians, to keep crying out to you day by day for all we need. Father, thank you. You are amazing. Amen.